The day you know what it's all really about, you could write thousands of pages of your higher self. What you are experiencing is just a drop in the ocean compared to what you have experienced so far. Take the opportunity now and look around while you are here, but do not reveal yourself. I will come when it is time to journey home. Take the opportunity to entertain you too. Amuse me, then how and with what? I've damn no money, and I am hungry, too. You have so that you can handle yourself. Good luck. If anyone had seen us where we sat on the bench, so he must surely also have seen that she just vanished into thin air. Amuse me. I feel for the pocket if I have my wallet. I'll take it up, and when I open it I find exactly $200 in various denominations. Hungry I am, so I go to find some place where I can get a bite to eat. Preoccupied with my thoughts, I do not notice a bunch of punks or similar on taking up the entire sidewalk, but I come up with one of them. He swears a chant for me, but now I discover that this time I felt that I went against something. This must be investigated. A bit in front of me stands a box next to a wall. I've tried a kick in the box, and what a hit it was. It goes away in an arc, but only to stay up against the belly of an elderly gentleman. He mumbles something, and I get up an excuse in bad English. At the same time I ask him if he could show me one place where you can get a bit to eat. He shows me into a coffee bar where you can also eat a meal. Behind a long counter, are two old hags, one on a high stool, a burly woman, fat and fluffy, with a cigarette butt in her mouth that probably was there even when she slept. The second thin and lanky, with a rag on her head, a dirty apron around the waist and a dirty towel over her shoulder. Anyway, I put myself down on a stool at the counter, because I was hungry. The fluffy lady cried inside a room behind her, and out comes a young dark-skinned girl between 15 and 20 years. I ordered a burger with cheese and bread and a bottle of chocolate milk. I do not want to sit by this smelly lady with a dirty towel, so I go and sit at a window table, so I can get a nicer view. I sit a few minutes, until the dark-skinned girl comes with what I ordered. On a slightly broken English, I wonder if I can get a cup of tea after dinner. She understood clearly what I wanted, for when she comes with the teacup, she asks if I will have a milk and sugar or a slice of lemon too. Milk and sugar, I say, and she retrieves it. Before she goes back, she asks if I'm here as a tourist, for she hears that I am not from here. I'll tell you where I am and that I should not stay longer than tonight. I also tell I will go out on the town and see me about before I go home. When she takes the tray away, I think about why I said that I should go home tonight. I do not know exactly when I will give myself away. I light a cigarette and drink my tea. After a while she comes back and asks if I want another cup. I accept. She asks if she can sit down for a while. Please. I say. She says that her name is Petra and she goes to school but work here in her free time. She asks me my name and what I do here in town. I say my name and that I am here to look around for a bit. She must think it odd, but says nothing. I learn that she just is vacant. I do not know why, but I ask her if she would like to keep my company for a while after she is free. Apparently, she was glad that I asked her, for she lit up her entire face. We went out together from the bar. She would buy a few things, so we went into a large department store. We walked and talked about Sweden and about my family. She understood a part of Swedish, about as much as I could in English, but we understood each other pretty well anyway. Her neighbor had had a Swedish exchange student 2 years ago, and she had been together with her a lot, hence the Swedish knowledge. We went to a nearby park with a cafe where we sat and talked about ourselves. It was never intended that I should ask her what she had for opinions on UFOs, but somehow we got on that topic. Time went by pretty fast, but we got at least a good deal said about the subject. She told me that we must meet again. I replied that it would be nice, but difficult because of the long distance. It'll work itself out, I was told. Soon after we parted. But I got a smile and a kiss on the cheek before she left. I sat there and thought about what happened, when I suddenly catch sight of Jenny outside the window. I pay the bill and go out. It has already started to get dark. Jenny wonders if we should go and get us a bite to eat before we shall give us back home. We find a small cozy place where we can get something good to eat. We get a steak with potatoes and assorted vegetables and a bottle of wine. Afterwards, we drink coffee and tea. There are two lighted candles on the table, and Jenny wants me to put out one.
Why?
I say, that's just nice by candlelight. But she insists, so I moisten my thumb and forefinger to extinguish it, but she stops me. You should put it out there without any mechanical movement and not blowing it out. Try to think that it goes out. Stop yourself now, I say. While we have heard that it is possible to perform certain things with the power of thought, but I cannot do it.
Why?
She says again. How it now happened, I do not know, but when I looked at the light a few seconds, the flame began to be reduced and eventually died out completely.
It went well, she says, but now you can light it again.
Give up now, it was you who did it, I say so loud that other people react.
No, Auntie, anyone can do it, but you have to know how to go about it.
Your second eye can do such things, but not your first eye. But you learn over time. Just remember that you must never use your hidden forces for commercial purposes, nor to harm anyone or anything. However, you can make use of it when an emergency arises, but in those cases, the laws of nature, so enters and your second eye is set up and helps you. And you should know that when you're in your dreams as you call them, it is your second eye that exists there. But your ordinary eye will show up, that's why you can remember some of what is happening you. There are certainly things that you cannot write down or tell anyone yet, but do not worry, when we look that you complete your task in full, you will remember everything that happens. We have now finished our meal and received coffee and tea. There are a few tables away from us that although they have candles on the table, I get the idea that I should have a little fun with them on and off a light with the power of thought. The man responds quickly. He takes a match on the table to light it. But before he can, I already burned it. I put out the other, and the same thing happens. They are beginning to look around on this mystery, while both Jenny and I cannot keep us from laughing. But for some reason, I do not continue, as I would like it. It's actually quite comical to see their reactions.
You learn, says Jenny, and that's good.
Sure, you can have some fun with what you can, but it is nice that you can control yourself. And do not forget what I told you that you can use it from time, but not to harm anyone. She gets up from the table and say goodbye for this time. But we meet again, she says before she goes. I pay the bill and gets $2 above that I leave on the table before I go into a toilet. I think that I have to take me home before someone wakes up at home. I get the feeling that I'm starting to freeze, and again, a picture emerges out of nowhere. There is a picture of our house and our garden. I will meet to be more or less one with the picture, and soon after so I find myself on the lawn behind the house. After a while I go in, the clock shows 4:16, my wife is sleeping. I put on some tea for me and takes a cigarette. As I sit and think, I try to light a lamp standing on the table to repeat what I have done before. But my disappointment is big when it does not work. Either it's all a dream, or is my old self far again active? I do not know what to believe. I go to bed to at least get a moment's sleep before I go to work. But for some reason I was not the least bit tired. Now I just have to wait for the next experience and see what happens. Still I do not know what to think about what is happening to myself. Contact encounter in space, December 1986, so it's winter again. One December evening. I decide me to go out for a walk before going to bed. Inside the villa's lights are still in some places, they're well on preparing for Christmas. When I pass the new school and must turn to right, I can see a bluish glow some distance away, down to the forest. It was approaching slowly to the place where I are. After a few seconds it stops, and I stand still, to see what happens. The glow becomes stronger and it is possible to discern the outline of a ball, a globe, a few meters in diameter. It stands perfectly still for a moment and then slides away behind a grove of trees. I do not walk more than a dozen feet, until it turns out again, only to disappear towards the trees again. Apparently it wants me to follow, and I do.
It leads me toward the meadow, and what do I see there? If not the egg that I have met on several occasions before. Shortly thereafter, opens a hatch on the bottom and a ladder is coming down. I'll wait a bit but then rise on board. I see none, but is told to enter and sit down. Then there is silence except for a faint hissing. A voice tells me not to be afraid of what I will now see. I have not met him before and he wants me no harm, just take me to our meeting place. I hear that someone is going down the stairs and into the room where I sit. Afraid, well I am not, but the being who now reveals himself in front of me does not look like humanoid. He is 170 to 180 centimeters long and is quite narrow, with long, slim legs, small narrow mouth and small slits for eyes, a hint of nose, but rather large ears, slightly more pointed than ours. On the body, he has a tight-fitting suit or dress. Why he has a spruce twig in his hand, I must just see. He sits down in a chair in front of me, put a twig on a table and press a button. Suddenly the twig is bathed in an intense yellow light. After a while he takes the twig from the table and gets up. He comes up to me and take me on the shoulder and says something I do not understand. Then he goes over to the driver's seat and makes some moves on some instruments. The egg begins to vibrate, and in the invisible windows, I see that we have lifted quite high above the ground. With invisible windows, I mean of course a window that cannot be seen from outside, only from inside. I see where we are heading, apparently there's no hurry, for it goes not faster than 50 to 60 kilometers per hour. It is now I'll see what he will do with the twig. He sits and breaks it into small pieces and puts them in his mouth. I wonder if it might be good, so I ask him, but I get no response. Instead, he hands me a piece. It's like getting an ice cube in your hand. I put it in my mouth, it was really cold and hard, but after a while it melts like butter in sunshine. I have tasted this before, but can now not remember what it tastes like. It was pretty good, but he'll probably keep the rest himself, which he does. We are approaching the meeting place, and I wonder what will happen and why did not Jenny show up. When we arrive, I get to see even an egg. But we do not land, but go straight up, side by side with the second egg. We must be pretty high up, because I could see several light collections below us, there must be towns. I feel that we slows down, and shortly thereafter we are in a large hangar, certainly in one of the great crafts that have I visited before. When we stopped and walked out of the egg, I see Jenny and two other of these strange twigs-eating creatures. I greets them as usual. And Jenny answers, but the other two comes forward and takes me on my shoulder like its predecessor did. I asked Jenny what will happen now? You will soon know. She asks me to follow. We go into a long corridor and into a large room where there are some people that I recognize from before. We sit down. Sorry, she says, all those who should have been here are not coming up. Some have pulled themselves out of the project. Some have not been able or willing to continue our relationship. But it will probably go fine anyway. I ask her what it is about and who it was who brought me here. As I told you earlier, there are other civilizations, and some have been destroyed by themselves. Even with you, it will be a mixture of biologically different individuals, when you have destroyed yourself, as you know about. Rune comment. These and many other extraterrestrials coming with such wearings from just after World War II and forward, meant a new world war was inevitable in those days, before the perestroika in Soviet, and the big question is whether it still is, now in those days when the Cold War is again looming. But it was not because you've been taken here. I've told you before that we would prove ourselves to you, and it is decided that we should do. But we do not intend to take a closer contact yet but just to show that we exist. You shall shortly see a map of the places where we will show ourselves. There are not many places for the first times, but there will be a few at a time in successive waves. We do not intend to create panic. But it will go quietly and with dignity, so no one is frightened, and at the same time, I hope we get the help from you who already know us. We have decided that there should be a night when we anticipate that all or most of the population live outdoors, then shall they see a fireworks display that they have never seen. but it lasts only 5 minutes, then we are gone. And such demonstrations have been done, in all parts of the world. For example, over the million city of Mexico. Runkerman, and continues from book, what you get see is a play of colors that will appear in 4 minutes, then will our ships to swim in the light for a minute, so it will not be many who will miss us at the locations we have chosen to show us. It is both these spaceships and flying saucers as you call them and also some other models, but essentially, these modern ships. Saucers getting a bit outdated, they have been involved for several hundred years, but they will still do for some time. What night do you show up? Will it be in the near future, or only in 10-20 years? And do you not plan to land, and show yourselves as well, when it shall come to find out in advance? The time we have chosen is very suitable, and it is not so very far away. It's just that we show us a short while, and we will not descend to the ground, but we are low enough that you could see us anyway. But have you included in the calculation that our defense forces might intervene and perhaps even try to shoot at you? As you know, we are not out on some bad missions, but rather the opposite. We must first prove that we exist, and only when we are accepted as good neighbors and brothers, then first can we descend to ground level to take the next step. I need not go into it now, you know what it is about. And should we be attacked, they cannot hurt us with their usual weapons, and I do not think they would use nuclear weapons against us, either, for that would only affect themselves for the most part. So you need not to worry for that matter. The biggest problem will be if we are to be accepted or not. There are a few other things I would ask you, I say. Are there any of you who are here all the time, or are you just here now and then, and how often is there anyone here who choose to go with you? And is it true that there have been, like some newspapers say, that you have taken on board both humans and animals and made some examinations against their will? On your first question, I can well respond that there are always some of us with you, but it is not the same people all the time. They will be replaced after some time. We have not been so long with you yet, but you will notice more are coming when getting closer to the planned time of our visit. He that usually contacts you is here not for too long, he will be exchanged for 6-7 months. By contacting me, you say, there is no one contacting me. Certainly I meet a man now and then who says he comes from a place not far from here, but who speaks with a slightly different accent and looks a bit different also in some respects, and which also has some ability to appear and disappear when you least expect it. But enough about that, can you answer my second question about how often someone moves over to you? That we have talked about before. But I can say that it is moving enough, a few hundred per year. And your third question, I can only say that there is someone who has come on board and has been subjected to some form of examination against their will. Would anyone suggest otherwise? It's wrong. The few that have come on board have been asked if we can take some simple tests, and we have accepted if they are not willing. And there is no one who has been forced on board. Nor, however, it is more with a kind of having been more or less dragged on board, and that includes yourself. And as for the animals, are the only animals who has been aboard a bird that had damaged a wing. We fixed it so that it could fly again, then we released it. You can incidentally be proud of your fellows who work against animal testing. We think it's cowardly to take the defenseless animals and experiment with them, without they giving their accept. Let your last animals and pets live a free life, you have neither the justice or any reason to killing them, and who have given you the right to do it anyway? I cannot but agree with her, because I have exactly the same opinion myself. Finally, I asked her if I could not get any concrete evidence from her, that they really exist and everything is not only imagination. Is it for yourself or others that you want evidence of your experience? She says, the best evidence you have within yourself, you have to believe in yourself and not bother so much about what others think and do. In time they shall see that you are right. We bid farewell to the great craft and are heading home. Second visit to the seabed, 880902, after a long break is my spacewoman Jenny finally here again. This time we shall meet at 10 o'clock in the morning. I go out to the meeting place at 10:30 and are waiting for her to show up, but she will not. Instead, I saw this egg a short distance away on a peninsula, so I rise and go there. When I arrived, a piece of the wall slipped to one side and an opening is visible. When I got into the egg, the wall closes, and I feel the normal vibrations. We will rise straight up, probably extremely high, because I can see both the west and east coasts of Sweden, and as this happens in the lower part of Sweden where one just can see both ceilings when coming high up. Ro remark. So we change course and go south of Holland, Belgium, France and over Spain, where we turn a little west towards the Atlantic. After a while we go down at such a low altitude that I cannot discern any country. After more than an hour's flight we stop suddenly and go down towards the water, to stay just above the water surface. I see that my pilot tinkered with a few buttons and a knob. The pilot, it is my needle-eating friend from a previous meeting. So we begin to move again, but not upward but into the water. Through the wall I do not see much other than foam and bubbles, and it is becoming darker. But then it becomes lighter, brighter, and we are in a, from the bottom lighted, valley, consisting of both soft and rolling fields and tall, pointy rocks, or perhaps I should say mountain ranges. So we stop in the middle front of a rock wall and the wall is a giant thick and heavy door that opens itself by sliding to the side. From what I can see, it is made of metal, about 25 by 25 meters square and maybe 5-6 meters thick. When completely open, we glide into a huge cave, maybe a few square kilometers, with very smooth walls along the sides and up to 5100 meters. Above the plain there are just the rough surfaces. We stopped on a ledge that seems to stretch itself around the cave, and in the cave beaks are additional gates and doors and stairs that leads up to other ledges. My pilot have left the egg and is swimming against a door in the rock. It opened, and it shows a room inside. There may be some kind of airlock, sluice, and even the great cave must be built so that it can be emptied of water. Why else could it have stairs and railings up to the galleries? Another thing that strikes me is that the big gates are numbered with ordinary numbers. In other places I've seen has only been a few geometric signs, squares, triangles, circles and dots. Insert his drawing of this base below ocean level. Between some of the ports are a few kinds of paintings, and these maps are plotted. Behind me is an entry with the number 4, I can also see a 6, a 7, a 1 and a bit above the 7th grade a hash 5. Between 6th and 4th grade hangs a sign with a map of Europe, Africa, North and South America, Greenland and Antarctica. In the Atlantic Ocean between North Africa and Florida on the map is a large selection with a red circle, and from this circle, goes several red lines to different locations on the map, including the North Sea and Arctic Ocean. The line that goes to the North Sea is numbered with a 4, the same as found on a gate in the cave. The bar number 4 stops in the North Sea just outside the Dutch or German coast, to which branch it divides into 4 lines. If I remember correctly, it was one to Austria, one to Norway and Sweden, and one to or against England and one against the Soviet. For each line on the map there seems to be a number that has a mirror on one of the smaller ports in the cave's walls. If these ports leads to some sort of sea lanes or tunnels underground or into the water, I do not know. It must have been about half an hour later my pilot gave himself away, but now I can see him again come out of a door in the wall. Beside the door shines a blue light, and shortly after he passed it glows red or yellow red. I hear a sound, and shortly thereafter, he is inside the egg. The big gate opened, but we did not go directly out of the cave but follows the well of the cave inward. When we arrived at the cave, I get to see something incredible. In the rock walls are large windows, 10-12 meters wide and 5-6 meters high, and inside these windows is hustle and bustle. It looks like a workshop of some kind. There are crafts, both such I've seen before and others, and there are human beings who work with anything. When we pass the last window, I also see something just as strange. It is rockets or similar. On one of them is to read United States with large white letters and more that I did not perceive before the room behind the screen gets dark. I immediately started thinking about what I saw and try to get answers from my pilot, but he is entirely quiet. Soon after we are on way out of the cave, on the road in the valley and up to the surface. After some hours we are back at the starting point home in Smaland. The entire trip took well not more than 3 hours, the cave visit included. Once at the beach, I will just go back to my car when I find a Jenny, my space woman. One could not be happier than me when I see who it is. We are talking about what happened when I get a wild idea in my head. Can we not go home to my place and drink a cup of tea? She laughs and asks if I dare it. It is clear that your clothes might attract attention, I say, but she calms me after a while, so we sit in the living room for a cup of tea. During the conversation about the events in the sea cave, I brings to the rockets I saw, and then she becomes just a little more serious. They have been found in different places, she says, and they came not only from the United States but from many nations. She says that authorities in different countries have missed them. But they do not want to talk about it. Several of these rockets could have started a nuclear war if we had not taken care of them. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you more. After the talk on the rockets, she was not like herself again, and not really like she used to be anymore. She was not the happy and lively Jenny that I had to deal with previously. I've never seen her so serious and sad as she was now. You should not rely too much on some nation's promises and fine speech on disarmament. I can tell you that there has never been so much rearmament on your earth now, she says. What they're doing now, there are preparations for a war that will destroy you all. You must believe me, Auntie, 60% indicates that it becomes so, and it increases by 1% every year if nothing radical is done. Comment Troon. But something happened just a few years after she said this. The perestroika in Soviet who Mr. Gorbachev managed to get though, which at least has delayed, and hopeful have lessened or prevented this looming WW3. Back to book. We continue to talk about other things and it ends up we set off to the beach. There we talked a long while, till she was picked up the same way as before, and I return home. But this much is certain that I will never be able to stop thinking about Jenny, my amazing space woman and her friends from out there somewhere. Renewed contact, 890330. It is now several months since my last meeting with these people, so I probably had almost given up hope of seeing them again. But on the afternoon of March 29th, the phone rings and I pick it up. A voice that, rather seemed to be from inside my head than at the other end of the phone line says that we shall meet, at 21 the following night. I hang up the phone and tell my other family that there was apparently a wrong call. The following day at 20:45, I give myself away to what I believe is the meeting place. This time I have with me a mini camera and some questions that I hope to answer. I arrive, park my car and go down to the sea. I see that there is someone on the cape to the left, about 50 meters away. I stand there and look at the person. He has already begun to go against me, when I hear a noise behind me. It says one of those spruce eaters as I call them, and when he is closer, I see that he is of the same variety. No vessel in sight. We go and sit on a wooden pier. It is a bit grey cold and they will feel the same as one of them takes out a square box out of another case that he has with him, a box that turns out to be a combination of heat and light. It warms nice and light with a pleasant light. I say that there must be visible to the road and the houses, but he explains that it is not visible. To convince me, we go a short distance away from the light box, and the light gets weaker the further we go to completely disappear after 40-50 meters. It's a very strange light, fainter than the light from a standard bulb. He says it's a coa lamp, run by slaty coal and magnesium and is lit by a magnet. When we sit around the lamp, I see how they really are. They are approximately 150 to 160 centimeters long, rather weak built, with a pear-shaped head which is a half times larger than ours. They are lighter in complexion, has no hair on top of the skull. However, somewhat thin, dark blonde, whiskers like the hair of the small and flat ears, and down to the chin. They have thin lips, a small hint of nose and large eyes. On top of the head are four narrow metal rails, mounted on a ring at the neck between the ears. Two metal rails go down to your forehead and two on the side of the eye. He has a tight-fitting suit that appears to consist of about 2 centimeters, thick, metal plates. Overall is all covering, It goes all the way down under your feet but ends at the wrist, where some sort of gloves begins. He also has a black belt, probably made of metal, with a few symbolic characters.